यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जना यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जना यमुनाथिरापनक्षारी यमुनाथिरापनक्षारी जय राधा माधव कुञ्ज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुञ्ज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुभार परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अस्तोत्र सत श्री श्रीमार हे श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुभार परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अस्तोत्र सत श्री श्रीमार शिल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंति कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रीलहरिदास ठाकुर की जाय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरी गौर भक्तबिंद की जाय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम खुंद राधा खुंद गिरी गोवर्धन की जाय। वृंद पांधाम की जाय। नवद्वीप धाम की जाय। जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जाय। गंगमयी की जाय। यमुनामयी की जाय। भक्ति देवी की जाय। तुलसी देवी की जाय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जाय। गौ प्रेमानंदी। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय पिताक स्वामी महाराज की जय। क्वचिच्च सीता तपवात् तदा वर्षा
pratikriyam kartu manisha aste. Quachin mito vipananyach chakinchid. Vidve shamrichat yuta vita satyat. Vachich chasitata pavata varsha. Pratikriyam kartu manisha aste. Kvachin mito vipanam yachcha kinchid. Vidveshamrichat yuta vita satyat. Kvachichta sitata pavata varsha. Pratikriyam kartu manisha aste. Quachin mito vipanam yachcha kinchid. Vidveshamrichat yuta vita satyat.
Ladies, watch it. Sometimes. Cha. Also. Sita Atapa.
but the Barsha. A freezing cold, scorching heat, strong wind, and excessive rainfall. Pratikriyam, counteraction. Kartum, to do. Anisha, being unable. Aste, remains in misery. Kvachit, sometimes. Mitta, one another. Vipanam, selling. Yat cha, whatever. Kinchit, a little bit. Vidvesham, mutual enmity. Richati, obtain. Uta, it is so said. Vita satyat, because of cheating one another, merely for money. Sometimes the living entity is busy counteracting the natural disturbances of freezing cold, scorching heat, strong wind, excessive rainfall, and so forth. When he is unable to do so, he becomes very unhappy. Sometimes he is cheated in business transactions one after another. In this way, by cheating, living entities create enmity among themselves. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is an example of the struggle for existence, the attempt to counteract the onslaught of material nature. This creates enmity in society, and consequently society is filled with envious people. One person is envious of another, and this is the way of the material world. The Krishna consciousness movement aims at creating an atmosphere of non-envy. Of course, it is not possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious, but the Krishna consciousness movement can create an exemplary society wherein there is no envy. Om akyantimidandasya gyananjana chalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam Dadati svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakan Vitamscha, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Sometimes the living entity is busy counteracting the natural disturbances of freezing cold, scorching heat, strong wind, excessive rainfall, and so forth. When he is unable to do so, he becomes very unhappy. Sometimes he is cheated in business transactions one after another. In this way, by cheating, living entities create enmity among themselves. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13. Rahugana converses with Jad Bharat. In this setting, apparently, Rahugana Maharaj is a great, wealthy, powerful king, riding on a beautifully ornamented palanquin, carried by servants. A man who is being worshipped, honored by people in all directions. Whatever he says, people run to carry out his wish. And then there is Jad Bharat, who is totally a social reject, a misfit. He's wandering through the forests. When people see him, they think he's a madman, ridicule him, throw abominable objects on him. At one time, his own relatives thought he was so useless. They put him in a field and told him to perform the occupation of a scarecrow. And he just stood there. He didn't retaliate. He didn't ask for equal rights. He just stood there, scaring crows away. Of course, the crows probably liked him. They didn't even the crows weren't scared of him. And here he is in the forest, wandering around, and people just thought he was like an animal. So when one of the palanquin carriers of the king was not able to carry, they just saw this strong-looking animal-like man, and they just grabbed him and said, "You carry the palanquin." So here he is under the king as one of the four men carrying him. So we see from the material perspective, there is a total difference between the two. But yet, internally, Jad Bharat, he purposely was causing great difficulty to the palanquin of the king. You have to be quite fearless to do that. Now, sometimes fearlessness is due to total faith in God, and sometimes it's due to just total ignorance and foolishness. And he appeared to be totally ignorant and foolish. Because Judd Bharat, Pandita Samadarshana, the Gita says, a great soul sees everyone with equal vision. So on top of him is the king of the world. And as he's walking, carrying him, on the bottom of him, he sees an ant. And while the other three are walking really fast, because the king wants to get where he's going, Judd Bharat stops in respect and honor to the ant, because he doesn't want to accidentally injure that little ant. He might hurt him. And the king is really disturbed up on top. Three people are moving fast. One person stops in the front. So the king chastises him, and all the others say, it's him, because they're afraid of the king like anything. None of them want to get in trouble. So they said, it's him, he stopped. The king chastises him, don't you stop. Don't you know your position is, I am king, you are servant, you do what I say. So they start moving again, and along comes some more ants. He stops. This happens a few times. The king was so angry. Not only was it materially, physically discomfort for him to be jolted by this crazy carrier, but it was an insult. It was a total insult. He's ordering him, and this person is totally disobeying him. Bhagavad Gita also says, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So the king was really upset, screaming at him. Basically threatening, you could die for what you're doing. Who do you think you are? Judd Bharat was just looking at him. And finally, when the king stopped speaking, Judd Bharat began to speak. He said, you think you're king. You think I'm servant. Next birth, I may be king. You may be servant. Why are we so attached to these artificial temporary designations we have in this world? He began to explain the difference between the soul and the body. The king realized, this man is great. He got down from his palanquin and offered his obeisances to this everyone else in the world except Rahugana and Kali, but that's another story. Everyone else in this world thought this person was a total misfit, ignorant animal. Judd Bharat only revealed it. He only revealed his knowledge, the empowered grace of God that he possessed, when he could help somebody. If he couldn't help somebody, if he couldn't save somebody's life from ignorance and misery, he didn't in any way try to show that he was anything but a foolish, ignorant misfit. He played that role. In other words, he didn't care anything for material adoration or material comfort or material anything. He only showed his greatness when he could make a serious difference in saving a person's life from ignorance. Rahugana became his disciple and inquired from him about the divine truths of life. In this particular chapter, Judd Bharat is comparing this material existence to a vast forest, and how the entangled living entity is wandering through this forest, suffering in so many ways. Particularly in today's verse, and Srila Prabhupada's revealing, almost frightening purport. He's focusing on how the living entity is so busy counteracting natural disturbances of freezing cold, scorching heat, strong wind, excessive rainfall, and so forth. And when he's unable to do so, becomes very unhappy. And then talks about how a person is cheated again and again. And because we're cheated so much, we become cheaters. And then, essentially, the basis of material existence is that potential for enmity among each other. The underlying problem is our nature is Jivera Swarupur Krishnara Nityadas. We are eternally, constitutionally servants of God, Krishna. But when we forget our relationship with Krishna, we come to this world, we want to be controllers. We want to be enjoyers. It is totally artificial, unnatural, and unreal. We never were, we cannot be, and we can never be. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. There is one supreme eternal, and there are many, many eternals who are part and parcel of that one supreme, who are always under the control of the supreme. But when we want to be controller, it creates conflict. And from that conflict, the most terrible of all qualities emerges: envy. We cannot tolerate seeing someone else being better, doing better than ourselves. It burns our hearts. The reason we remain within this world, Srila Prabhupada explains, is because we're envious of God's supreme position. And because every living being is part and parcel of Krishna, if you're envious of God, you are potentially envious of everyone. It's just a matter of circumstances facilitating that to awaken from within. It's the worst of all qualities. Envy is the foundation of all of everything bad within material existence. And how much our scriptures focus on this principle of envy. Krishna tells Arjuna very simply, you can understand the message of Bhagavad Gita, what I say, because you have no envy. Krishna makes it so simple. In two different slokas, he explains why Arjuna is qualified. He says, "You, because you are my friend and devotee, and because you are non-envious." He didn't say you can understand Bhagavad Gita because you understand Sanskrit very excellently, because you're a scholar, because you are the son of Pandu, from a high birth. You have a powerful, beautiful body. It's because he wasn't envious. You can be a greatest scholar. You could have a photographic memory. You can be a charismatic preacher who attracts tens and millions of followers to obey your every word. You can be an expert manager. You can be like a magician and making money, giving it in donations to the God, to the Lord. But you'll never understand Bhagavad Gita. until you come to this simple point that Krishna is saying, you have to be free from envy. How dangerous is envy? Krishna warns us. Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the context of the Mahabharata. A tremendous literature written by Vyasadeva of 100,000 verses. And the basis of Mahabharata is simply the results of envy. Yes? Duryodhana was envious of Arjuna and Yudhisthira. He burned with envy, even though they were brothers. In Indian civilization, a cousin is a brother. There's really hardly any difference in the tradition. Yudhisthira was kind, detached, loving. Everyone liked him because he was like a selfless servant and father to everyone else. And the better his qualities were, the more Duryodhana hated him. The more godly he was, the more of a threat he was to Duryodhana, because Duryodhana didn't have those qualities. People didn't love Duryodhana like they loved Yudhisthira. So Yudhisthira was envious. He hated him. I mean, Duryodhana was envious. And also, Yudhisthira was the rightful heir to the throne. And Duryodhana could not tolerate that. And Bhima was stronger than Duryodhana. So Duryodhana hated him, was envious of him. He wanted to be the enjoyer. He wanted to be recognized, adored. And anyone who had more than himself was a competitor. And in his envy, he wanted to destroy them. Just a few days ago, I was listening to a class of Srila Prabhupada on tape from the first verse of Bhagavad Gita. Dhritarashtra uvacha dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveda yugacchava. Dhritarashtra is asking Sanjay, what are my sons and the sons of Pandu doing on this battlefield of Kurukshetra? And in this lecture, Prabhupada is explaining that the very nature of material existence is people suffer due to envy. Whoever you are, when you try to do anything good, people will envy you. People will try to destroy you. And here in this particular purport, Prabhupada is explaining so much enmity in this world. How can there be peace when there's envy? Back in the 1960s here in California, young people were very much propounding peace. Peace, brother. Peace, sister. But Krishna explains in the fifth chapter of Gita, what is the peace formula? Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokameheshwaram suhradam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shanti mrichchati. Let us analyze this. Prabhupada called this verse the peace formula. You cannot have peace unless you understand these principles. In other words, what we saw with our own eyes is within the peace movement, people were envious of each other because they were more successful in spreading peace. Or for whatever reason. Or one had a prettier girlfriend or a handsomer boyfriend or something like that. There was envy amongst people. But to understand that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, the enjoyer of everything, and the best friend of everyone, when we accept that, then there's no envy. Because we want to be proprietor, and I want what you have, there's envy. Srila Prabhupada gives a very simple definition of jealousy. He says, when you have what I want, that's jealousy, envy. But if we accept Krishna as the proprietor of everything, we're happy that Krishna has it all. Then there's no enmity. As long as I think I'm the enjoyer and you think you're the enjoyer, there's potential competition. One professor of economics, he told me he had a PhD in economics. He said that he could synthesize the whole subject of economics in one or two sentences. He says, if you understand this, you understand the whole thing of the subject of economics. But it took him so many years to get a PhD. He said, this is the yes. This is what it means. Would you like to hear? He said, the subject of economics is simply this. There's a problem. What is the problem? That everyone, and this is the way the PhDs understand it, that everyone has unlimited desires to enjoy unlimited resources, and there's only a limited amount of resources. That's it. Therefore, there's envy and competition, and that's causing so much problems. But if we accept that Krishna is the enjoyer, then we're happy to do the will of Krishna. Krishna is the proprietor. Everything belongs to him. And Krishna is the best friend. That means I'm not the best friend. That means we take our joy in seeing Krishna being the unlimited best friend. And we could all live together peacefully as servants of the Lord. And this is the quality that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed is the principal quality of a Vaishnava. Sometimes Prabhupada was very, very strong, and he said, Vaishnav means to be without envy. We call ourselves Vaishnavas. There are different definitions of Vaishnavas. But sometimes Prabhupada would explain, a Vaishnav means to be without envy. And there are many examples how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during the Rath Yatra of Jagannath in Puri, he went into that garden near the Aitota, not far from Gundicha Mandir, because they were offering many preparations of bhoga to Jagannath, Baladev Subhadra. So the chariot stopped in the road. And Lord Chaitanya went into a garden and laid down because he was dancing all day long. So he laid down, and all the devotees laid on under trees and in bushes, resting for some time. And then King Prataparudra went in there and started massaging the Lord's feet and his legs under the instruction of the Lord. He was in disguise. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy because he was chanting the Gopi Gita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embracing him. He was crying on him. He was saying, you have come to give me such nectar. You are my best friend. He revealed his opulences before the king. He asked, who are you? You have come to give me such nectar. Who are you? You can't lie to God and get away with it. Now, he was in disguise because previously Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will never come near that king. And during Rath Yatra, Lord Chaitanya apparently, accidentally, was in ecstasy and he fell into the arms of the king. And as soon as he realized the king had touched him, he jumped away and said, how abominable I have been touched by a materialistic person. And here now, he's in disguise, the king massaging the Lord's legs. And the Lord says, who are you? You have to speak the truth. He spoke the truth. He said, I am the servant of the servant of your servants, and my only aspiration is to be the servant of the servant of your servants. That's who he really felt he was, not a king. These are all external designations. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him again and again, revealed to him his divine form of Krishna. Now, the focus of this pastime we're bringing to light is how Srila Prabhupada, what he draws out of this, is all the other devotees were happy because he was getting such blessings, he was getting such favor, he was getting such recognition. And then Prabhupada says no one was envious. Materialistic people are envious when they see someone else getting more than them. And it's especially critical when someone who's similar to you. Yes. If an artist gets glorified for a beautiful painting, usually the farmer is not so envious, but another artist is envious. So when somebody does something better than what we like to do, the tendency is to be envious. But Srila Prabhupada explains the quality of a Vaishnava is a Vaishnava finds joy in seeing others becoming empowered. Sees joy in others being successful. Feels joy in seeing others getting the favor of the Lord. Prabhupada's definition of Vaishnava doesn't say, what about me? Don't you see what I've done? Don't you know what I've gone through? Why are you giving all credit to him? Why are you making this person famous and you're making this person blessed and you're empowering this person? Why? Why not me? A devotee's joyful to see someone else getting mercy. From their hearts. Now, socially, officially, sometimes if somebody does something really good, we congratulate them and we say, oh, very, very good. You are so, you're fortunate. But does it come from the heart? Krishna sees what's in the heart. French Revolution was all envy. Who was that king in Versailles, King Louis? He had this magnificent palace and he was inviting other kings and royalty to his palace and he was entertaining them and giving them the best foods and doing everything. He was trying to show off to them. And instead of enjoying him, they were saying, oh, you are so great, you are so wonderful, we are so happy with you. But in their hearts, they were burning with envy. They couldn't tolerate that he had more than them. He could do everything better than them. And they, you know, they stirred up the masses to chop off the head of the queen and kill the king and take everything away. Envy. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would glorify Haridas Thakur, it was as if he had five mouths. When he would glorify Sanatana Goswami, it was with so much, he would just go on and on. You are my guru. And all the other devotees were in ecstasy to see somebody else getting the pleasure, receiving the pleasure of the Lord's mercy. And again, in these instances, Prabhupada says, there was not envy. They were happy to see somebody else doing well. So, happy to see somebody else succeeding. Happy to see somebody else getting the mercy of the Lord. Sometimes we like to see new people getting mercy, but we don't like to see our equals getting too much mercy because it starts to tilt the scales. But that's the test. Are we really Krishna conscious? Herein, Srila Prabhupada is explaining what our what our real duty is as His disciples, as His followers, to create a society free of envy. Srila Prabhupada writes, he says it twice. The Krishna Consciousness Movement aims at creating an atmosphere of non-envy. Of course, it is not possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious, but the Krishna Consciousness Movement can create an exemplary society wherein there is no envy. That's the challenge. If we really want to give relief to the world, we have to exemplify what Krishna consciousness means. Krishna consciousness means to be without envy, especially for each other. To take joy and pleasure in seeing each other exceed. This is the message of Prabhupada's books. Now we are so fortunate that by his infinite mercy, he's engaging all of us in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement. Unlimited fortune. And here in Los Angeles, perhaps more than anywhere else in the world, he emphasized the distribution of his books. He emphasized it everywhere in the world. But in his lectures, in his darshans, he was especially telling the whole world from his American headquarters in Los Angeles how he was so pleased by giving his books to the conditioned souls. It is a privilege. It is the greatest fortune to be given the chance to serve in this way. This is the message of the books. How to find shelter in a philosophy, in a lifestyle, in a society that is free from envy. By cleansing our heart of these anarthas of lust and arrogance and anger, greed, illusion, and envy. Through associating with devotees, chanting God's holy names, and regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. In the very introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that this movement is for this a social revolution against ignorance. And the basis of ignorance is envy. So when we're distributing Prabhupada's books, or when we're facilitating, inspiring those who are distributing Prabhupada's books, we are instruments of Prabhupada's compassion. We are instruments of the compassion of the entire Guru Parampara. I remember in 1972 I was in a Srimad Bhagavatam class of Srila Prabhupada in New York City when the temple was on Henry Street. It was in July. And Prabhupada was saying he was really, really pushing the devotees to distribute his books. This was in 1972. There wasn't that many books either. It's really pushing. Back to Godheads, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavat. And then he said, if you really want to be empowered to distribute my books, you have to read my books. And then he gave an example. He said, if somebody says, what is this book about? What will you tell them? I don't know. I only sell them. I don't read them. He said, who will take you seriously? We read these books. We become empowered by this message. And then we have the determination. We have the higher taste to share this message with others. Because there's a desperate need. We have to really carefully understand the miseries of material existence and what's going on in this world to really feel compassionate and the need to help. A devotee, he or she cannot tolerate to see others suffering. Everyone is a child of Krishna. Everyone is a brother, a sister. So much hatred, so much envy. And that envy takes so many forms and takes shelter of so many excuses within families, between races, between cities, countries, nations, between religions. There are unlimited reasons and excuses to vent the propensity of envy from our hearts. The economic collapse is due to greed and envy. The wars, the ecological environmental crisis, drug addiction, alcoholism, crime, divorce. It's all based on selfish envy at its core, at its root. So much depression, anxiety. It's due to our selfish desires being frustrated, our ego being frustrated. Yes, it's a very difficult situation. People are wounded. So Prabhupada is explaining here that Krishna consciousness movement is meant to give shelter, to give peace, to give happiness through spiritual purification and love for Krishna. And Prabhupada emphasized the primary means of reaching people's hearts is to bring this message into their lives through his books. Prabhupada explained that my purports are my devotional ecstasies. Now, what brings a great soul ecstasy? His love for Krishna and his compassion for suffering souls. His love for Krishna and his love for every living entity is his ecstasy. So please, you know, let us take this opportunity, this blessing, very seriously and be an instrument of that blessing. And at the same time, people read the books and they get such divine knowledge, then they come to find shelter in the association of people who follow that. If they see envy among each other, among devotees, it's very difficult for people to have faith. So what Prabhupada is repeatedly emphasizing within his books, we have to really take to heart ourselves. We have to give out this knowledge, and we have to really strive to live by this knowledge. A society of love and trust is absolutely opposite of a society where we are envious among each other. People hate envious politics. The world is reeking with it. They want to come to a place where there's selfless, non-envious love for each other and for God. Prabhupada is practically defining this is what the Krishna consciousness movement is. And it's our service to represent Prabhupada, somehow or other, to represent Prabhupada in this way, by distributing the knowledge through book distribution, through preaching, and by living the knowledge among ourselves. Jad Bharat was totally non-envious. Even though he had absolutely no qualifications materially, apparently, the king surrendered to him because he was non-envious. He was everybody's well-wisher. When you're non-envious, you're fearless too. All other divine qualities manifest when there's not envy. Because when there's not envy, there's what remains? Love. Take away envy and all that's left is love. And from that love for Krishna, all other qualities manifest. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It's really a beautiful thing to see His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj. What he has gone through. I was there at the hospital just after he was brought there on that fateful early morning. And the doctor told us. Actually, the doctor didn't want to discourage the devotees. So he was saying one thing to the devotees, but one of his good friends was the director of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So the surgeon told him, there's not even a 1% chance that this man can possibly survive. And if he does, he'll never be able to do anything again. The most dangerous type of stroke and the most critical part of the brain. He was unconscious. He was in a coma for a long time. For several months, he was in critical condition. And then when he came out of it all, you know, here's a person who was traveling everywhere, speaking everywhere, he can't walk. For several months, he could hardly talk. But as soon as he opened his eyes, practically, he just wanted to serve. He just wanted to serve everyone. he wanted to give Prabhupada's message. He was just recently out of critical condition. I get a call. He would like to give the Sunday feast lecture at Radha Gopinath Temple. He's asking permission. I said, of course. He can also come to the Pune Yatra. There's about 4,000 devotees there. So, yeah, I was joking. It's a 5-hour drive each way. He said, really? 5,000 devotees, I'll go. He came. Now, for most of us, you know, we look in the mirror and make sure we look nice before we go in public. you know, 5,000 of their, I think there were 5,000 devotees there, and there's cameras and so many things, videos. Most of us like to look nice if we're in public. Well, there's no question. He's like, there was drool coming out, his eyes were not opening, his people were, you know, putting thing, drops in his eyes and in his mouth every few seconds so that he can, you know, continue on. He didn't care. He just went on just preaching for an hour and a half. Never complaining. In fact, doesn't he look blissful? He looks blissful. He's just grateful for the chance to serve. And loves to see others making progress. Krishna has many mysterious ways of revealing the essence of the beauty of a Vaishnava's heart. Sometimes by empowering a person to do great things. Other times by putting a person in a most difficult possible situation just to show that there's no material impediment to the love and compassion of a Vaishnava. And the best of the book distributors are those who deeply from their hearts really want to help people. They really have faith in Prabhupada's words and they really want to be instruments of that compassion. They really want to uplift people. To the degree we really care, we become divinely empowered. Not just empowered by our skills in talking or skills in acting, but we become empowered by Prabhupada. By Lord Nityananda, by Lord Krishna. And there's no greater happiness than to feel that experience and be a part of that. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ko premanandi hari bo. If you can tolerate another one, I'm happy to do.